Welcome to episode 65 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. I am your host, as always, Matt Skura, and we got my great co-host, Mr. Caleb Conant. Caleb, how are we doing this fine Wednesday night, June 15th, 2022?
Man, it's blessed, bro. It's blessed. It's great. It's a great night out here, man. Can't complain. We got some good weather out in Cali right now. It's been a blessed day so far, brother. How's it been on your end, bro? How's it on your end right now?
Man, I was on my end. You know, it's been good. You know, it's been good. You know, been in the gym for a little bit. You know, trying to get the summer body ready. You know.
Yeah.
Try to get the ladies. You already know. You already know the vibes.
Yeah.
And, you know, so far things are going pretty well. You know, we got the NBA Finals upon us. You know, things are so far looking good for Golden State as they are up 3-2. But, you know, overall, you know, in the words of Future, in the one song that he had with Drake, you know, life is good.
That's, you know, right. I love to hear it, man. Can't wait, you know, bro. Your muscles are going to be fucking packed out soon. It's got to be. You've been hitting the gym a lot, man. So you better come out looking like Hawk in 6 months.
All right, I'll try to look like Hawk in 6 months.
Hulk.
Oh,
my
Hulk.
Bad.
Hulk, yeah, in 6 months.
For the people who are going to criticize me out there, Hulk for that in the next 6 months. But, yeah, man, I'm glad life is good, brother. It's a pleasure.
Alrighty, and with that being said, Caleb, where can all the people find all the great stuff that you do?
Oh, man, I want to find the great stuff I do, yo. Y'all want to find the great stuff I do. They can find a lot of the great stuff we do, in fact, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, even go on my YouTube page, Jules and Jim's Podcast. There's a special episode strictly on there that you guys could check. That's from me and Matt. But, you know, other than that, you can find me on Instagram at 1CALEBCONANT. You can find me on Twitter at CALEBCONANT2. You dig? And yeah, man, that's it. That's it, brother. Where can they find you?
Man, you can find me. You can find my Twitter at Matt_Skura. Instagram at Matt_Skura21. In both of those links, in both of those bios, you can get access to this very podcast called MCS Real Sports Podcast.
Yep.
And it's available everywhere. You name it. You know, whether you got Spotify, whether you got the Anchor app itself, whether you got iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, you name it, it is available everywhere. That's where you can find all the great stuff that Caleb and I do. With that being said, let's get into this episode. Caleb, game 6 of the NBA Finals is tomorrow between the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics. The Golden State Warriors are up 3-2 in this series. With that being said, what do you think will go down, Caleb? Do you think we'll see game 6 Klay tomorrow? Will the Warriors win their 4th championship in the last 8 years? Or will the Boston Celtics force a game 7? Let me hear it.
Man, you know, I think we're going to see game 6 Klay. I think the Warriors claim their 4th championship in wow, 8 years. That's crazy to even think, you know. Well, I just want people to realize, and I know this isn't about this particular player, but just realize how great and appreciating how great LeBron really was, man, for him to go to 8 finals in a row. The fact that the Warriors are able to be 1 game away to winning 4 in a row within eight years is also unheard of. It's a testimony to, you know, how great their organization is. But on another note, I do think the Warriors in this. I think I said that in episode 1. I said that I had to go in 7. Wouldn't be surprised if it still did go 7. Just like how we're watching this series, man. Game 1. Game 1 was such a, like, let's just start there. Game 1 was a big game. that the Warriors, I felt like when as I was watching that game, I felt like they shouldn't have lost game one, you know? And if they didn't lose game one, maybe they're already the champions right now. But, you know, from my opinion, game one, you know, sent a big message. Boston's here to play. Boston's a really, 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 really good team. And I would not be surprised if they won game six tomorrow night, you know. But I do think that we have to look at the overall series. They've been duking it out hit for hit. But, you know, I think game six is going to be determined by how Boston bounces back. Like, Boston's going to have to bounce back. So that's going to determine it all. You know what I'm saying? And if they play a good brand of basketball, then I think we could see a game seven. And I wouldn't be mad about a game seven, honestly, Matt. But how do you feel like heading in tomorrow? And who do you have winning? Do you have Boston taking this, or do you think you know, Golden State gets it done?
I think Golden State gets it done. I think especially with what we saw in that game five. I mean, we saw something in game five that, you know, not a lot of people didn't really see. You know, Steph Curry had a streak. I believe it was 233 consecutive games to where he made at least one three-pointer, but that streak ended because he didn't make a three-pointer that game. And we saw Andrew Wiggins play probably – I mean, I know he scored a lot of points before in the past. I've seen him score 30-point games, 40-point games. But just in his career alone, I think the performance that he put on in game five, scoring, I believe it was either 25 or 26 points in 26. That game five. Dropping 26 points in that game five. I think the game that Andrew Wiggins played, the stats that he put up in that matchup, I think that was probably his best game of his career.
Yeah, I mean, 26 and 13.
Yeah, he had 26 and 13. Now, Thompson did his thing. Klay Thompson dropping 21 points. That's awesome to see. But when you look at Andrew Wiggins, he really stepped up big time when he really needed the most, especially because when you look at that game, Curry kind of struggled a little bit. You know, Curry, he had 16 points, but that wasn't the Steph Curry that we'd known. That wasn't game four Steph Curry where he dropped 43 points. And even beforehand throughout this finals, I mean, you saw Curry games one through four, he was dropping, you know, 25 to 40 points any given night. He was the guy for the Warriors.
Right.
And even on his off night when he struggled, Andrew Wiggins stepped up and had the best performance of his career. And Klay Thompson was hitting his shots. You know, he shot 11 threes and he made five of them. He had a pretty good 3-point percentage, about 45% from three. That's what you want out of Klay Thompson. I think it was an incredible performance from there. And I truly believe, I think this is going to be the series to where the Warriors close it out in game six. But I do believe the Boston Celtics will give a valiant effort, because I do remember last time the Boston Celtics were down 3-2 in game six, which was round two against the Milwaukee Bucks. And what did Jason Tatum do, Caleb? He dropped 47 points in game six to force a game seven. So, yeah. And especially when you think about it, he did those 47 points in Milwaukee on the road. This is going to be at the TD Garden in Boston. You know that crowd is going to be buzzing during that game. Now, do I think there's going to be a game seven? No. But like you mentioned earlier, I do agree with you as well. There is a good chance that there can be a game seven.
Oh, yeah.
But I think for the Warriors' sake, you cannot allow the Celtics to force a game seven. Because if you do, even though it's going to be a home game, even though it's going to be a home game for Golden State, you got to think about it like this. After game six, if there's a game seven is going to be Sunday, June 19th on Father's Day. You get extra 3 days of rest, plus the Celtics having momentum. That's not the kind of recipe that I would want. If I were the Golden State Warriors, I would want to close it out and just get it over with. You know, just win game six tomorrow night in Boston, get it done, win championship number four, you know, in the span of 8 years. And, you know, in my honest opinion, I think for this finals, if the Warriors close it out and get it done, Steph Curry has to be Finals MVP. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. If he is not Finals MVP, we riot. Because there is no other player throughout this entire series that has been the most dominant for the Golden State Warriors besides Steph Curry. Yeah, Curry may have had an off game in game five, but games one through four, he was the reason why, you know, the series is tied at two. And when you think about it, I know I mentioned this earlier, but if Steph Curry doesn't have that 43-point performance in game four, Golden State's going down 3-1. But because Steph Curry went off and had himself a dominant game four performance, he made the series 2-2, and the team stepped up in game five to make them up 3-2. And now in game six, we could very well see game six Clay, but I'm also going to see a bounce back Steph Curry. And even when you think about it, Caleb, in game five, Draymond Green dropped 8 points. He dropped as many points in game five, I believe, as he did almost that entire series.
Yeah, you know, at this point, we can't expect Draymond to be this third star scorer right now. Like, we never did expect that out of him. We never, ever in the past three championships they got, he didn't have to be that third option. Even when they won the first time,
it was his defense. It was his defense and his
assist and rebounds, and still able to get plus 10 points, you know. But like I think people are looking at him to drop 20 and, you know, 25 and 15 and at least over 10 every game, and you know that's just not where he's most valuable right now, at least, you know. And I think it's been perfect, honestly. It's a blessing in disguise. Because look at, guess what? Andrew Wiggins is balling. He's a number one pick, bro. He should be on the Timberwolves with Karl Anthony Towns right now, and they should be winning championships like Kobe and Shaq. That's what they planned when they first had those two guys. And it just didn't pan out that way. And to see how Wiggins is, you know, he just played his role. Yeah. In Golden State now, he's balling, bro. He's balling. He's the X factor. He's the guy that's bringing him over the top. He's the reason. I wanted to add, he's the reason that the series is 3-2 right now. He really is. He's been playing absolutely amazing. And then you have Jordan Poole, and you have James Wiseman. Those are three future pieces that are going to, if they could get them all to be on the same level contract-wise, those are three pieces the Warriors are going to have when, you know, Clay and Steph and Draymond fade away.
And it's also not sleep on Jonathan Kuminga either.
Yeah, Kuminga.
Kuminga is going to be another young guy too. Like, the Warriors are a team to where they're winning right now, and they got a bunch of young guys that are looking pretty good for the future. So the Warriors are going to be definitely an exciting bunch. But I kind of want to flip it over to the flip side. Caleb, what do the Boston Celtics have to do? I know you said that there could be a case that they could force Game 7. But what do they have to do to not only force a Game 7, but to potentially cause every Lakers fan's nightmares and give banner number 18 to Boston? What do the Celtics have to do to potentially get into that situation?
Honestly, without any bias, I think they just have to make sure that they put their guys in position to score. And I think their role players have to step up a little bit more. Like, they need that third guy, because Brown and Tatum, they're going to do their thing. They're going to get the opportunities every possession to go down and do so. But, you know, just like how game one, the reason I feel like they won game one was because Al Horford. You know, game three, I think, Robert Williams had a good game. But, you know, somebody else besides Tatum and Brown is going to have to step up and have a big night. And, you know, with them, it could come from anybody. You never know. It might be Grant Williams. He had a very good series last series. So you never know who it could be. But I just think somebody's going to, besides Tatum and Brown are going to have to step up, and that's going to be what they have to do to win them all. What is it? I would like to pass that same question back to you, honestly, and see what you would think. Like, what do you think is going to be the X factor for them tomorrow in order for them to force it to a game seven?
Man, I think if the Boston Celtics want to force a game seven, I think Jason Tatum needs to have one of the best games of his life. I need to see the Jason Tatum that I saw when he was down 3-2 against the Milwaukee Bucks, and he had an all-star kind of performance in Milwaukee. I need to see the Jason Tatum in game seven that got the job done when he wore the Kobe Bryant band on his arm, game seven in Miami. I need to see that kind of performance for Jason Tatum in game six. I think if the Boston Celtics want to come from behind and win this championship, I think it's going to have to be a whole team. I think they're going to have to not turn the ball over. There's a stat line to where it shows that they're pretty much almost unbeatable when they have 16 or less turnovers. When they have 16 or less turnovers, they play great basketball and they know how to win. I think they only have maybe two or three losses when they have 16 or less turnovers. Wow. But when they have 16 or more turnovers, they do not have a good record. So I think for Boston, two things are going to have to occur if they want to come from behind and win a championship. One, you're going to need to play clean basketball and have 16 or less turnovers. And two, I'm going to need to see another good performance out of Al Horford. When you think about this NBA Finals, out of Al Horford, he was there for game one. And to be quite frankly, that's been pretty much it. I mean, even in game three, when the Celtics won that game three matchup, you didn't really see the big performance from Al Horford. Who you saw those big performances out of was Tatum, Brown, and Smart. So I think the X factor who will have to step up has to be Al Horford. Now, Al Horford doesn't have to play like he played in game one. You know, he doesn't – I mean, if he goes vintage in game one, I think that'll be fantastic for the Boston Celtics.
Right.
But I just need to see Horford, you know, get maybe 15 to 18 points. You know, be a force, you know, in the remaining two games that are left. Because that, in my opinion, is going to be the only way how the Boston Celtics come from behind and win this series – is if Horford plays great, if Tatum does his thing and plays good like he did in those elimination games, and if the Celtics do not turn the ball over as much, that is how the Celtics are going to win. Now, personally, I think you and I both agree. We hope that the Celtics don't win because I think that would be an ultimate nightmare, I think, for all Lakers fans around the world. You know, they do not want the Celtics to get championship number 18. That would be an outright travesty, especially when you miss the playoffs and you don't even make it to the play-in, and then you see your biggest rivals of all time win a championship and overtake you as a lead. You know, instead of tied at 17, now it's 18-17. That's gonna be a big problem if that happens. So we hope that Golden State closes this series out tomorrow night. But I think from an outside fan perspective, I think it'll be an ultra exciting game seven if we do get one. Wouldn't that be a awesome Father's Day gift? You know,
yeah, that would be amazing.
Going out, father, son, let's catch this game seven between the Warriors and the Celtics. We're either going to see championship number 18 for the Celtics, or we're going to see a fourth title in 8 years for the Golden State Warriors.
All right.
And I also want to throw out the fact, you mentioned this earlier, Caleb, that what the Warriors have been doing has been very impressive. I mean, talk about the kind of run that they've been on since 2015, making it to five straight NBA finals from 2015 to 2019, winning three of them, and then having a bit of a down year hiatus, and then you're back in the NBA Finals. This is almost 90s Bulls-esque. Now, obviously, the 90s Bulls, I mean, we're talking if MJ doesn't retire for those 2 years, they could have easily won eight straight. I mean, I know they probably would have had to go through Hakeem Olajuwon, Olajuwon those 2 years, but I mean, the way how that Bulls were rolling, they could have easily won 8 straight. And when you think about the Golden State Warriors, you go on to five straight NBA finals, you win 3 of them. You missed the playoffs for 2 years because of injury. And then when you're finally fully healthy, you're back in the NBA finals, and now you are a game away from winning this NBA championship with a wholly new revamped lineup. I mean, you look at this whole Warriors dynasty. You look at in 2015, they were the young up-and-coming team. It was a young Steph Curry, young Klay Thompson, young Draymond Green. They had other guys like Harrison Barnes, Andrew Bogut. You know, they were a bunch of young Rough Riders that we love to see.
Right.
And then you got to the part to where they infamously blew a 3-1 lead, and then they took over the NBA, signed Kevin Durant, and it was basically game over. They won back-to-back championships. They made it to another finals in 2019. And then the injury bug hit them hard, and they collapsed. KD had his Achilles injury. Klay Thompson tore his ACL. And then after that, it was just filled with injuries the 2 years. You know, 2020, they missed the playoffs. 2021, they missed the playoffs, all due to injuries. And now this year, the big three is back and healthy of Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. But they have new sidekick pieces, the Jordan Pools, the Andrew Wiggins. You look at, there are just other guys that are stepped up. Even Kevon Looney, you know, just other new pieces that are stepping up and finding ways to win. And it is just incredible to see, you know, out of a
James Wiseman, you know.
Yeah, and what's crazy to think about, Caleb, is James Wiseman has been hurt, and he hasn't even been playing.
Yeah.
You know, this entire series. So, like, when you think about it, when James Wiseman is fully healthy, Warriors team is still going to be lethal.
Exactly.
Like, they got a lot of stuff they have a lot in store for them, and I think it's going to be very exciting to see what happens. I also want to break down there was also some breaking news that actually occurred today. If you have not heard, the Dallas Mavericks are acquiring center/power forward Christian Wood from the Houston Rockets. And in exchange, the Houston Rockets will receive the 26th pick in 2022 and 4 players. Those 4 players are Boban Marjanovic, Marquise Chris, Trey Burke, and Sterling Brown to Houston. Caleb, after seeing the Dallas Mavericks make it to the Western Conference Finals, and they make that kind of move to get Christian Wood, and they may have given up their 26th pick in those 4 players, where does this put the Dallas Mavericks now? Do you think that's going to be their next piece to ultimately potentially make it to the NBA Finals, or do you think that would be a good piece for them to stay in the playoff contention realm?
I mean, I think it's an improvement piece. I can't say that they're ready for the finals, though. I definitely can't say that, but I think it's a very good improvement piece for them to be able to, you know, have somebody that they could throw it down to the bucket. I mean, throw it down to the paint and get a bucket. They could throw the ball down to the paint and have their guy go get a bucket. That's a skill set that I believe they need. You know, we've seen this a lot. Their guards are able to really carry them through all the way to the finals, the West Conference Finals, I should say. And, you know, the Warriors' guards were better at putting up points. So they needed to slow the game down, and they weren't able to do so without having to put Luka in the post and have their other guys be shooters. And in that series, they weren't able to rely on their shooters because nobody was hitting. Max Kleber wasn't hitting. Wesley Matthews wasn't hitting. And, you know, we also found out, you know, that they could use a shooter too. So I think the move helps them. It helps them tremendously because Christian Wood is young. He could do just as much, if not more, than Kristaps Porzingis. And he'll probably be playing the exact role that he was playing anyway. So I think this trade helps them. Now, for them, it's about really retaining Brunson, right? I think if they can't retain Brunson, then that alone is gonna be some trouble for them. And excuse my dogs, MCS Express Podcast, my Cam Corsos and my Poodles. But yeah, man, like I do think that it helps them, with their offense. But how much does it really advance? And does this really? You asked me if they were a championship team. I don't know if you were serious about that question. Because do you think this move really helps them become a championship team? Do you think this helps them advance that far?
No, I don't think it would. I mean, how I look at it, this team just made it to the Western Conference Finals. I think you hit it right on the money of them saying that they're going to have to retain Jalen Brunson. I think it's going to be very important for them to try and retain Jalen Brunson, because if they don't, then their team is going to take a massive step back. But when you look at how Dallas is situated, they just made it to the Western Conference Finals, and they were able to get past the Utah Jazz, who I think are about to enter in a rebuild, with the Gobert and Donovan Mitchell situation. I don't know how that's going to turn out, especially with Quinn Snyder recently stepping down. We don't know how the Jazz are going to look, so the Jazz are going to be could be on the downward decline. You look at the Phoenix Suns. Are the Phoenix Suns really going to be a team that could vie for a championship? That depends. Are they able to retain DeAndre Ayton? That depends. And then you look at Dallas themselves, who made it to the Final Four, and they were able to add a guy like Christian Wood, who is going to be their fortified centerpiece. They tried it with Kristaps Porzingis, and it didn't work. Luka and Kristaps did not work well. There really wasn't anything going for them. But I think with Christian Wood, it could be different. I think it could definitely be a huge piece for them, especially because he is a very good offensive piece. And I think if they're able to retain Jalen Brunson, and you also look at it, who knows what will happen, what else in the Western Conference. I mean, you look at the only 4 to 5 teams in the Western Conference that we know can do well is the Golden State Warriors, the Dallas Mavericks, and maybe the Phoenix Suns. But the rest of the Western Conference – not the Phoenix Suns, the Memphis Grizzlies. Besides those three teams, pretty much everything else is wide open. Like, yeah, you could obviously make the case for the L.A. Lakers, but, Anthony Davis hasn't been healthy. Will Russell Westbrook bounce back? We never know. Bless you. And then also when you look at the new head coach, Darvin Ham, how is Darvin Ham going to look? Obviously all the players love him, but we kind of don't know about there. And the other teams in the Western Conference are, like I mentioned earlier, they're 50-50. You never know, who you're going to get. Like, those are the three teams right there that are the most solidified. And I think if Dallas, them adding Christian Wood is going to be helpful. And if they can retain Jalen Brunson, I think they're gonna be right. I think they could be right back to where they were, in the Western Conference Finals, maybe pushing it to the NBA Finals. Obviously there's still the offseason. It's plenty young. That's just the first move that I want to talk about, just because it's a huge trade. It's one of the first trades in the offseason. It occurred during the finals, which is very interesting. I mean, I haven't seen a trade this significant, I think, during the NBA Finals. But I just thought that this was something good to break down, kind of give, your take on it. If the Mavericks still look good, which I think they – I think the thing with the Dallas Mavericks is, as long as they retain Jalen Brunson, they're going to be they could very easily be one of the top teams of the Western Conference. But if they are not able to, they better find a way to replace them in the draft or free agency. Because if you cannot do that, then you're gonna be in a playoff. You're gonna be in the playoff format, but you're gonna be either a round one or a round two exit. You know what I mean? Right. Because if they could keep this almost the same team that they had, obviously besides trading Boban, Marquese Chris, Trey Burke, and Sterling Brown, who to be quite honest weren't really even utilized in the rotation.
You're right.
Like, you look at those four players that Dallas traded; they really weren't. They really weren't, utilized in that rotation. I mean, maybe Boban Marjanovic but that was just pretty much it. You know, the others you didn't really see a whole lot of.
Right,
so
I agree.
I just think if they can keep Jalen Brunson, you have Christian Wood, Luka continues to do what Luka does, and Jason Kidd continues to improve as a head coach, then they could very easily be a top three team in the Western Conference. I mean, you look at it, they were a fourth seed just this year, and they made it to the Western Conference Finals. Who's to say they can't improve and be maybe a top three seed and maybe make it back to the Western Conference Finals? Now, it's going to be a very tough path because the offseason is still young. There's still going to have to be the NBA draft, and there's still going to be free agency. But as of where it stands right now, Dallas is looking pretty good right now. They're in pretty good shape, so we will see how that will turn out. And one of the last things that I would like to touch upon as well during this episode is on the NFL side of things, as there has been recent news that the Pittsburgh Steelers safety, Minkah Fitzpatrick, is now the highest paid safety in NFL history, as he signed a 4-year extension that will pay Minkah Fitzpatrick more than $18.4 million per year. I'll throw this out to you, Caleb, for the NFL side of things. One, what does this mean for Minkah Fitzpatrick getting all of that dough, all of that bread? And two, what does this mean for the Pittsburgh Steelers and their defense?
Man, I believe he's been trying to get that bag ever since he was in Miami, right? That's why they traded him, because they didn't want to pay him. So I believe that, you know, he got what he wanted now. He showed what he was worth right after he was traded. he definitely showed what he was worth, like, right, like, as soon as he was traded. I believe the defense got that much better as soon as he got traded, from what I remember. So he definitely, you know, showed he, like, how much better he can make a defense. He got what he wanted, so for him, I'm sure he's happy. And now for the Steelers, they got their anchor on defense. Now it's just about building up for them, making sure they have a lockdown corner. I think they're going to probably go with that route. We could see some teams like the Commanders, excuse me. They have, like, their line, their front line is crazy. So, you know, teams build their defense different ways. Rams, their front line is crazy, but every level is even for them. So I think, you know, with the Steelers, what this means for them is how are they going to, you know, what other position are they going to fill? They have TJ Watt, who's a rusher. I think they have Casey Hayward on the line. So maybe for them, the next thing is about making sure they can retain a lockdown corner. And, you know, their defense could be there, but I think the Steelers, they need to focus on getting a consistent quarterback who's going to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. But yeah, I think those are good questions. I like to throw them back at you, bro. What does it mean for Minkah Fitzpatrick, and what does this mean for the Steelers ultimately?
I think this is great for Minkah Fitzpatrick. I think what he has done ever since coming to Pittsburgh, I think he's only improved their defense. He's made their defense one of the tops in the league. I mean, when you look at top 10 defenses, Pittsburgh always seems to be a team that's up there. And I think Minkah Fitzpatrick is definitely one of the key integral parts because of it. And when you also think about it, they were able to get him from Miami. You know, they basically traded for him. You know, he was their prized possession that they got in the trade, and he's played like it, and he got the money that he deserves. You know, he got more than the Jamal Adams $17.5 million per year, which is awesome for him. And I think when you pair him up with TJ Watt, obviously seeing what he was able to do, winning Defensive Player of the Year, I think he was a sack away from breaking the sack record. So you know what he can do. And then also seeing, you know, Cam Hayward. So it was close, but seeing Cam Hayward on that defensive front. The Steelers are still a team that's going to be based on their defense.
Right.
If the Steelers defense does well and they're able to win games, then the Steelers are going to be a competitive team. But I do not believe the Steelers are going to be a team that, you know, you're going to see in the playoffs. I mean, this AFC is loaded yeah. with talent. You know, even when you think about it, in their own division, you still got to worry about Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals, who just made it to the Super Bowl, and they've looked to have improved their O-line, especially in the offseason.
Yeah.
And then you also got the Baltimore Ravens, who are going to be healthy. You know, Lamar Jackson's going to come back. You know, Marcus Peters, Marlon Humphrey, they're going to come back healthy. J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, they are going to come back healthy.
Right.
That's just that team alone.
Yep.
And even when you look at – even though the Cleveland Browns have their own issues, that Cleveland Browns defense is still going to look scary. When you got Myles Garrett, when you got Jadeveon Clowney, when you got Denzel Ward, that's going to be a defense right there that could be lethal. But I think the only thing – the thing that's holding the Pittsburgh Steelers back is how long are you going to rely on Najee Harris? You look at their offense, in my honest opinion – is very similar to the Tennessee Titans. Look at the Tennessee Titans offense. You pretty much have an okay quarterback with Ryan Tannehill. Your receiving core is suspect. I mean, yeah, you have Robert Woods, and you have a rookie in Traylon and a Traylon Burks that you just drafted. But other than that, we don't know what this Tennessee offense is going to be. I mean, you're pretty much praying that Derrick Henry stays healthy. Because if Derrick Henry doesn't stay healthy, then the Titans offense is going straight to the gutter. You know, that's the same thing with Pittsburgh. You look at their offense, the receiving core is 50-50. I mean, you have Chase Claypool. It's still unknown. You know, you still got Deontay Johnson. You got your rookie George Pickens.
James Washington, is it with them?
I think he is. I think James Washington is still there, but
they got George Pickens from Georgia.
They did draft George Pickens from Georgia. Like the receiving core is 50-50. They're very iffy.
And who? I mean,
when you look at their quarterback room, you got Mason Rudolph, who isn't really a good quarterback. He showed some flashes, but he really isn't. You know. He really isn't going to be a QB that you fear. You're more known for him being whack-a-mole by Myles Garrett. You got Mitchell Trubisky, whose stint in Chicago was a disaster, whether it was due to his play or coaches setting him up for failure. He was a backup in Buffalo, but, you know, is he really a fortified starter? You know, that's to be determined. And then you also got a rookie quarterback in Kenny Pickett, who we won't know if he's a starter. You know, your quarterback, who is your future, is a rookie. You know, are you really ready to throw your rookie quarterback into the fire and just see how it goes? Or are you going to try to see what you got in Trubisky and go from there? Me personally, I would go with Mitchell Trubisky and just have Kenny Pickett sit for the year, learn the offense, learn the playbook. And then by the time, you know, next season starts, then I would throw in Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I'd have to stop you before you even say but, because I would not do that. I wouldn't mind sitting him, you know, but maybe like half the season or something until like we're out of playoff contention or we know it's really hard. And at that point, we're just going to put you in. I'd be willing to give him the keys straight off from off the bat, like right now. Like, if you want to start now, let's start now. And he's going to get better. I think the sooner the better. And I think a lot of these guys get better by playing on the field. I don't see the benefit in holding them back just for them to learn the playbook.
I could see that. But I would just hold on Kenny Pickett, because if there's one thing that you do not want to have happen is to throw in Kenny Pickett and he just flat out struggles and he doesn't know what he's doing, he's over his head, and it seems like it's too early to be thrown in. I think the only time you should ever throw in Kenny Pickett is if Trubisky gets hurt or if the Steelers are eliminated from the playoffs. And in my honest opinion, I think the Steelers are going to be one of those teams to where they're going to push you to the brink. You know, they may not make the playoffs. You know, they're not going to make the playoffs. But I think they're going to be one of those teams where they're going to fight to the very end. They're going to fight all the way to about, you know, the week 16, 17, week 18 mark. Like, they're going to give it their all because that's what Mike Tomlin does.
Right.
You know, Mike Tomlin, you know, he's been the head coach of the Steelers for 15, 16 years, and he doesn't have a losing record because he's a great coach and he knows what he's doing. So he's going to have his boys ready, and especially with that kind of defense. That kind of defense is going to win you some games. You know, it's just the AFC is just so competitive. You know, there's so many good teams in the AFC this year. I mean, look at even the AFC West. It's just incredible. You know, the AFC West, you can make a case that all four teams might make it. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. But three out of those four, you know, they could very easily make it to the playoffs. So it's going to be very exciting to see what happens there just on that side alone. And then for Pittsburgh, you just gotta hope. You just gotta hope that your defense stays healthy. And for Minkah Fitzpatrick, you know, you got your big contract that you deserved. Now keep on playing well, because if you don't play well, you know, after you get that big contract, you know, people are gonna look at you and say, like, you know, what's happened? You know, you've gotten your bread, you've got your money, you've got your contract. Why is the play declining? So. Just keep up the good playing, Minkah Fitzpatrick. Keep doing your thing. You know, keep being the reason why the Steelers' defense is going to be incredible. And, you know, hey, you know, I want to sleep on the Steelers team. You know, I know some people are writing in the Steelers as last place in the AFC North, but, you know, this may be a hot take, but I think Pittsburgh could very well be a third-place team in the AFC North.
Yeah, no, I do too. You said a third place?
Yeah, third place. I think it's 50-50 between the Ravens and the Bengals. I think whoever wins the season series is going to win the division. And then I think the Steelers are going to be in third, and I think the Cleveland Browns are going to be in last.
I could agree. I totally agree with that. Can't even lie. I agree with that. I do. And the only reason I think like that is because the Browns are so iffy. The Browns can change if they could have, you know, Watson all season. If that's the case and that goes through, I think it could change. But as of right now, and I would have to agree with you, bro.
Here's one thing I will say: if somehow, some way, Deshaun Watson gets cleared of all of this. All of the situation that is happening to him, all of those cases, if somehow, some way, he is free to play week one, everybody's going to look at the Cleveland Browns a whole lot differently. Because right now, people look at the Cleveland Browns, they're looking at the Cleveland Browns and saying, oh, this team is not going to do well. This team's going to miss the playoffs. But if Deshaun Watson is clear to play, everything is dismissed, he's ready to go week one, Cleveland is going to be a team that is going to be scary in the AFC because last time we saw Deshaun Watson play fully healthy. Yeah. The Texans, that may have been 4-12 that year, but Deshaun Watson had, I think, close to 5,000 yards and he was an incredible player, but only if he plays week one. I don't think he will, but if he does, I think people are going to look at Cleveland differently. But for right now, June 15th, 2022, I think the Cleveland Browns are going to be a last place team. I think Pittsburgh is going to be a third place team. And then 50-50 between the Bengals and the Ravens. I think those two teams are going to be battling the division for a long time. You know, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. It's going to be incredible to watch. You know, you got two great quarterbacks facing off there. But for Pittsburgh, here are two things that Pittsburgh fans should look forward to. They should look forward to the development of Kenny Pickett. And then you look forward to Minkah Fitzpatrick playing like the contract that he is worth and their defense continuing to be one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think it, you know, one thing I want to add on though is if Watson is healthy and the Browns are fully, you know, healthy, that they could very well be a surprise too.
Absolutely, they could easily be a surprise team as well. You know, it's gonna be very exciting to see what else goes down this NFL off season. But you know, we still got a lot to go through. And with that being said, that will conclude episode 65 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. Before we head out, Caleb, where can the people once again find all the great things that you do?
Y'all could find me on Instagram at 1CALEBCONANT. Y'all can find me at Twitter at CALEBCONANT2. And click the link tree in the bio and you can find other things too. You dig that. And I'm out of here. Matt, where can they find you?
All right. They can find me Instagram at Matt_Skura21, Twitter at Matt_Skura, and both of those links in my bio. It gives you access to this very sports podcast called MCS Real Sports Podcast. And it is available everywhere. Once you click that link, you'll see it available on Spotify, on Anchor, on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts. You name whatever station has a podcasting, our podcast is going to be right there. And as always, it is great to be filming this episode. With that being said, I am Matt Skura. We got my great co-host, Caleb Conant. We are signing off on this fantastic Wednesday night, June 15th, 2022.
Dose.